Good evening, everyone. Broadcasting live. January 31st, 2016. Sa mapapasa akaranang kusalasaw pasampada sa cita pariyoda panangitang bundahan sa asana. We have quotes, four quotes, about the teaching of the Buddhas. It's interesting, he's pulled together quotes from three different places, and he skipped one. Could have added a fifth, I'm not sure why he didn't. Kanti paramang tapo titika. Nibbanang paramang vadanti buddha. But the ones we have are cease to do evil. Probably a good translation. Cease to do evil means sabapapasa akaranang, not doing all evils. Kusalasu pasampada, becoming full of or becoming accomplished. In regards to wholesomeness or goodness or skillfulness. Skillful things, good things. Satitta priyoda panang, and the purification of one's own mind. Etang buddhana sasana. This is the teaching of all Buddhas. This is the teaching of the Buddhas. Nupavado anupagato. Despising none. Nupagato, nupavado, not despising others. Nupagato, not harming others. Patimokhe jasangvaro, being restrained by monastic rules. Matanyutta japatasmi, moderation in regards to food. Pandancha sayanasanam, having a dwelling that is secluded. Adichitte ca ayogo, being devoted to higher mind. Certainly not mediation. Something's wrong with the quote there. Etang buddhana sasana. You know, it's funny to talk about what is the teaching of the Buddhas. What is the teaching of the Buddha? I just did a response paper today for our reading in the Lotus Sutra. And first draft said, the Buddha says this, the Buddha says that. It was just basically quoting what the text had said about why the Buddha teaches in parables. And then I redid it because I went over it again and I had to edit it to say, well, the text says that the Buddha says this. The Buddha is quoted as saying or as... is claimed to have said, or something like that. Because I don't believe that the Buddha said the stuff that's in the Lotus Sutra. I don't think that many people do. Besides those who are devout Mahayana Buddhists. The question is, what did the Buddha teach, and what is the Buddha's teaching? I think most of us agree that the Four Noble Truths are the Buddha's teaching. Really the teaching of all Buddhas. So it's a good reason for us to start there. Because I know that in Mahayana Buddhism they also talk about the Four Noble Truths. Why we know it's the teaching of the Buddha, we don't find it anywhere else. Someone had to come up with this. So this is something unique to the Buddha's teaching. I have the idea that suffering is caused by craving. I suppose it's not even that unique if you think about it. Maybe the Eightfold Noble Path, because you know, in India at the time, a lot of people thought that desire was the cause of suffering. And people were clear about birth being suffering, old age being suffering, death being suffering. A lot of ascetics knew this sort of thing. But what they didn't know is how to be free from desire. They talked about desires and they would torture themselves to try to free themselves from desire. So one of the last things the Buddha said before he passed away was that it's the Eightfold Noble Path that determines the religion. In whatever religion you find the Eightfold Noble Path, in that religion you're going to find Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, Arahant. You're going to find enlightened beings. In any religion that doesn't have the Eightfold Noble Path. So if you want to talk about what did the Buddha teach, I think the three trainings or the Eightfold Noble Path, morality, concentration, and wisdom. This is probably the best way to explain to someone in a nutshell what Buddhism is. It's the Eightfold Noble Path. So starting with morality. Cultivating right action, right speech, right livelihood, then concentration, which is right effort, right mindfulness, and right focus, right concentration, and then right wisdom, which is right thought and right view and right thought. And I had a meeting today of the Hamilton Interfaith Peace Group. And it's always been, since I've joined this group, I guess I joined in, I don't know, October, November. The idea of faith is very much a theistic concept, right? Not to say that Buddhists don't have faith, and we've talked about this before, but it's not exactly it's not a core concept in Buddhism, right? Nowhere near a core concept. Is faith useful? Yeah, faith is a wholesome quality. Wholesome in the sense that it gives you strength. But it's possible, of course, to have faith in something that is unjustified. It's possible for faith to lead you to danger, to suffering. not the faith itself, but the thing that you have faith in. And the faith propels you towards danger. So it's not considered to be essential, in a sense, or it's not central. I suppose you could say it's essential as one of the faculties, but not in the sense of, you know, I mean, faith is, when people talk about faith, they're talking about something that they don't understand. Right? Because you can't say that science is faith-based. And yet scientists are often very confident of their theories. But it's because they have reason to be confident of them. They have faith in their theories, they have faith in their instruments, but it's based on experience, and it's based on observations, it's based on knowledge and so on. That's not what is meant by a faith. My faith, your faith, a religious faith. So anyway, today we were talking about this event that we're going to be holding in April, storytelling event. And we're trying to find the name for it, and someone suggested we should put the word faith in the title. And I said, well, you know, wasn't really all that keen to bring it up, but I said, if you're inviting a Buddhist, because I'll be telling one of the stories, is if there's a Buddhist in there, then it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really fit with Buddhism. We're not faith-based, or we don't talk about faith. It's not a word that we use. And caused a little bit of there's a little bit of contention there because, of course, the group itself is all about faith. It's called the Hamilton Interfaith Peace Group. But the reason I think of that is because that's really not what the Buddha's teaching is about. No matter how useful you say faith is, a key aspect of the Buddha's teaching is definitely to move beyond faith, right? Beyond belief in things that you don't understand. The idea is to come to understand. Focus is on understanding things, not in believing things. And interestingly, that's something that distinguishes Theravada Buddhism from what I'm reading about Mahayana Buddhism now, because at least in the Lotus Sutra, there starts to become an emphasis on faith. The Buddha says everyone is going to become a Buddha, and he says, you just have to believe me. You're going to have to believe me in this one. Believe in me. And then, you know, it's by the time the Lotus Sutra came about, there was a lot of funny stuff going on, so they'd started believing that the Buddha, there were heavens full of Buddhas, lands full of Buddhas called Buddha lands or whatever. There's the pure land that grew out of this, but there was the idea that Buddhas were constantly working to enlighten beings for eternity. They never really leave samsara. It's a much more complicated system that they have. And so, no wonder that people don't really get a sense of what the Buddha taught, because, well, according to who, right? So I submit to you all that what the Buddha taught is three things: morality, concentration, and wisdom. And when you develop concentration, it leads to, when you develop morality, the concentration that comes from morality is a great fruit. When you have strong concentration, it leads to wisdom. When you have wisdom, it leads to asavehi cittang vimucchati. The mind becomes free from asava. from defilements. So, see, everyone's active on Second Life. I haven't been making videos. I'll try to make some this week, we'll see. Just been a little bit swamped with other things. The TED Talk, I was supposed to do a TED Talk, and as I said, I kind of bombed the trial run. But they invited me to another interview. So there were 16 semi-finalists, and then we had the semi-final finalists. 8 of us. So they cut it down to 8, and I was still in it. So I wrote them back and said, I really don't think I can give it my all. I really realized in the interview that I just don't have the, I don't have the heart to put my heart into it. There's something, it's neat to give a talk to so many people and such a prestigious organization, but they don't want people like me. I don't think so anyway. I mean, if they want me to just get up and teach meditation, that's something I'd be passionate about, but I wasn't really passionate about what I'd written about. But I do have to, have to find ways to find ways to teach, no? It's a little bit, cumbersome using the internet to teach, not just to teach, but to build a community. Shouldn't minimize the importance of a local community. So hopefully that'll build up as well. People to keep this place going, to keep me alive, to keep putting out the trash, cleaning the bathrooms, making sure meditators have food. But like on the internet, the problem is building a community, right? So I think this site has done quite a bit. It's neat, we've got a whole list of people on this evening. But there's always more that can be done, and there's, it's not a perfect community. This is nice. I'm trying to just get a sense of the community, because it's nice coming on at 9 and giving a little bit of a, having a chance to give a little bit of Dhamma. And we have a community this way, where we can practice together. It's been a long day. We had our meeting this afternoon. Really interesting meeting, interesting group of people. Working on this event. But, I guess that's all for this evening. So thank you all for tuning in. Have a good night.